Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's special topic conversation is about the use of RFID technology across the federal government. We're talking with Dr. David Wild, RFID expert and professor of management at Southeastern Louisiana University. Dr. Wild, you recently completed a report sponsored by the center called RFID, the Right Frequency for Government. This report so far has generated over 50,000 hits in the first 4 months of its release and has been, by all measures, the most popular document that we've published. Could you tell our listeners a bit about this report and the research that you undertook?
First off, I'm flattered by the response that the report has garnered from the press and from government officials. And the report came about as I was looking at commercial applications of RFID technology and the beginning to realize that there was similar applications in the government space. And certainly the DoD mandate was important, but there was a recent GAO report that found 28 RFID-related projects across 15 cabinet-level agencies. And so it's not just a DoD effort. It's a federal government-wide effort. And in addition, we're seeing quite a bit of activity and applications both at the state and the local levels.
Your report highlights three case studies where RFID technology is currently in use. Could you share an overview of the use of RFID at the Food and Drug Administration?
The FDA is taking an approach to not mandate the use of RFID technology in the identification of pharmaceuticals, but urging the private sector to develop RFID solutions for developing an e-pedigree, an electronic record of pharmaceuticals as they pass from manufacturer through the major drug wholesalers to the pharmacy at the retail level and at the hospital level. And what the drug industry is extremely concerned about are product integrity issues, assuring that it's a genuine product, and also in addition to fighting counterfeiting, being able to prevent theft and diversion of their products in the supply chain. RFID enables the pharmaceutical sector to be able to track and trace pharmaceuticals as they pass through the supply chain and be able to provide a level of control on drugs that are particularly in demand in both legal channels and in the gray markets. And in particular, Pfizer has been very active in this technology with its Viagra product, and then also Purdue Pharma has been doing the same with its OxyContin, the narcotic painkiller. And what we're finding is that they can develop a great deal of information on controlling the product as it moves through the supply chain and even down to the pharmacy level, to where they can achieve a return on their investment through the technology.
So this obviously has application both in the over-the-counter product from the pharmaceutical companies as well as their ethical products.
It can be used in over-the-counter medications. What the critical issue right now is in terms of controlling products that have a high demand for them and also a high potential for abuse or misuse. And then also another critical issue is the cost of the tagging technology, to where the higher the value of the product, the more it makes sense to label individual items of the product.
Interesting. You mentioned the Department of Defense, and we understand that you also profiled them in your report. Where is DoD now, and where are they headed with RFID?
Well, the Department of Defense mandate is probably the most important development in the entire RFID marketplace. The DoD mandate affects 60,000 suppliers, many of whom are not Boeing and Lockheed Martin, very small 1- and 2-person outfits that are supplying the Department of Defense a full range of materials. And what we really don't realize is the Department of Defense buys goods across the entire spectrum. And one general that was quoted in the report said that our operations in Iraq and Afghanistan are the largest logistical undertaking in the history of man. It equates to us moving the entire population of San Antonio, Texas, halfway around the world with all their belongings and possessions and all the things necessary to support them. So as we see the mission of the Defense Department changing, we see also the need for a controlled supply chain and being able to not have some of the inefficiencies that have been in the past. In the first Gulf War, there was stories of goods being ordered several times over just to assure a ready supply in theater. With RFID being implemented, we're seeing that the supply chain operates much more efficiently. The commanders on the scene have much more confidence that they will obtain the necessary goods, the necessary spare parts in order to support their operations. And so what you have is a much more intelligent supply chain operating at great distances, but being able to give great visibility throughout the supply chain and communication between what's needed in the field all the way back through to the ultimate DoD supplier.
You also profiled the Department of Agriculture's National Animal Identification Program. What approach is USDA taking to implementing RFID?
Well, the USDA approach is very much akin to the approach taken by the FDA in regards to prescription drugs. They are advocating but not mandating a solution. And the National Animal Identification Program is a public-private effort between the Department of Agriculture and primarily the beef industry, with a great deal of concern over mad cow disease and other potential animal diseases, and bird flu is out there, but it really doesn't apply to that. But with the National Animal Identification Program, for the first time, the U.S. will have the ability to trace the source of an animal disease within 48 hours of notification. And that's quite important with our national food chain that we have today. For instance, all beef cattle, no matter where they're raised, go through five central feed processing centers. Even if an outbreak occurs in one area of the country, there's a potential for product to be distributed nationally. And so the National Animal Identification Program not only has the ability to protect American consumers' interests, but also has the ability to protect the interest of American agriculture, as our beef exports depend on the ability for us to assure that we have a safe supply network. And in contrast to countries like Brazil and Australia, we really were behind in terms of our development of such a system. With the National Animal Identification Program, one of the other benefits is that for the first time we'll have a standardized numbering system for identifying species of animals. And so, for instance, the horse industry had its own numbering system. The ostrich industry had its own numbering system. For the first time, we'll have a standardized reporting system that will actually foster better communications and better animal health.
Dr. Wall, you used the word advocate earlier. Do you see standards and legislation being passed in this area?
Well, it is eventually likely this will become a mandatory program by 2009 or 2010. Certainly, if there were health interest or an agro-terror incident, that could happen sooner. But the plans are for it to be eventually made mandatory.
This technology must certainly raise issues around privacy. What concerns exist today and how should they be handled?
Well, there is a great deal of quite understandable privacy concerns surrounding RFID technology because some aspects of the technology bring to mind Big Brother and Orwellian concepts of control. And certainly there are aspects of RFID that concern individuals in terms of the ability of governments and corporations to get more information on how people live, what they buy, what they possess. And quite honestly, right now, probably the concerns over privacy outstrip the actual abilities of the technology. If the technology is still in its nascent stage and we're just learning how to use and harness the technology. And so it's something for companies using the technology to be aware of, that there can be some consumer, employee concerns about the technology, and they need to be proactive in the way that they communicate what RFID is, why are they using it, what benefits there are to the consumer for using RFID technology. And let's take in the retail segment. If an RFID tag is on an individual product, it gives the consumer much more ability in the future for returning the item, for having warranty work done on an item, for perhaps recycling the item at the end of life. And so there's a great deal of benefit to individuals from the use of RFID, in addition to what that negates whatever privacy concerns they have.
What role could local, state, and federal government agencies play in supporting the use of RFID?
What we're going to see is that government has an important role to play, because the governmental equation for ROI, as former Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge put it, is different than what's found in the private sector. Government may have different reasons for employing the technology, such as security concerns, supply chain efficiency concerns, and not having to worry about profitability. And so what we're seeing is that government is taking a lead role in establishing some of the best practices in using the technology in the supply chain, and then finding novel and new uses for the technology outside of the supply chain. I think some of the most exciting developments regarding RFID, in fact, come from very creative government agencies located outside the Beltway. For instance, we have agencies that are using RFID technology to better manage documents and those ubiquitous manila folders that govern our lives. We find that there's courts and law enforcement agencies that are using RFID to tag and track evidence in their possession, which assist in the prosecution of crimes. And we also find that libraries are one of the leading users of RFID technology. And what we're seeing is that libraries used to just use the technology to control much akin to retail, where you have just making sure that the items don't leave the premise. Now, through RFID technology, they're able to automate the entire library process in terms of checking out items, to locating items more effectively on the shelf. And through that, they're able to free up librarians to do more value-added services such as research, storytelling, and other aspects of libraries.
Dr. Wild, you've been researching and writing about this topic for years. What do you predict for the future?
Well, what I predict is that we are at the early stages of a marathon in using the technology. We're going to see applications that we can only imagine today. And I think government has a role to play in this, in terms of fostering the technology, in terms of encouraging its use. What I predict is that we're going to see supply chain management evolve to a point that, with accuracy and visibility and control, that's unimagined today. And we're also going to see those applications that are creative and novel and bring enhanced experiences and enhanced value to each of our lives.
That's fantastic. Thank you for joining us on the show this morning.
Okay, thank you for having me, Albert.
How is DoD using RFID technology to support business transformation? We will be back with Mr. Paul Brinkley, Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Business Transformation, when this special topic broadcast on RFID continues on the Business of Government Hour.